So this is the icon that was originally appeared to the monks on a tree, and they saw this miraculous icon appear, so they took the icon and they took it into the Catholicon, and the next morning it disappeared. And then they found it back on the tree. So they took it back in. Who put it there? And it went back to the tree.
Yes.
And they finally decided that, well, I guess the Holy Virgin wants to be there. So they built this Byzantine temple to house that icon. And so I go in and I prostrate twice. But as I go down the first time, I heard a familiar voice that I had never heard before. The Holy Virgin spoke to me, and she said, "You too were a tourist."
All right. All right.
And I was completely filled with utter shame. But it was a kind voice. It wasn't like, "You were a tourist." And it was a familiar voice, like my grandmother's voice would be familiar to me. And I knew who it was. Of course, the Holy Virgin's not spoken to me before or since. But I knew the voice. And so I was so filled with shame. It would be kind of like a little boy who's devoted to his grandmother, and he did something kind of bad, and his grandmother says, "I'm surprised at you. I'm disappointed in you." And he bursts into tears in shame. So I burst into tears. And when I turned to leave, I couldn't even kiss the icon. I felt so much shame. So I kissed the base of the frame of the icon. And then as I turned to go, there was a monk that was pointing to a stall, one of the monastic stalls for me to stand in for the service. And I went like this. And I went to the very back of this temple, and there was this huge pillar, and I knelt down behind the pillar. I couldn't even see the iconostasis. And I put my head to the floor, and I used my sleeves of my rasa to muffle my essentially wailing. I mean, I've never in my life cried as hard and as deep as I did at that moment. I couldn't stop. And some 40 minutes later, when the service was over with, my friend, it was Father Basil Rose. I mean, not Rose, Father Basil Rose, who was with me, and he said, "They're going to lock the church. You've got to come and venerate the icon." And I was, you know, my eyes were all red with tears, and I went up and I prostrated again, but again I couldn't kiss the icon. I couldn't even look at her. I felt unworthy. And so as I left to go out, I went out into the night. I just didn't want anybody to see me until some monk saw me and he says, "Oh, you can't be out here. You have to go to your guest house." And I went in and I tried to tell Father Basil and this other fellow that was with us what had happened, but I couldn't. I couldn't even, it took me more than 2 months to even relate this story without bursting into tears. That's how much it affected me. And so there's a reason why she said this to me. Because the next day, we hired a couple monks to drive us from the Great Lavra to St. Pantaleon's, the Rusicon. And just as we walked through the main gates into the Rusicon, and there was a monk there that he found out that we were Americans, and he came up to me and he says, he came right up to me and he said, "There's a man here who's decided that he wants to convert to Orthodoxy and he needs to talk to someone, and he's a German and he only speaks German and English. Would you help?" "Yes, sir." "My mother would want me to do this." And so I was introduced to this man, and we went and sat down on some rocks on the Aegean Sea, and we spent the next 2.5 hours talking about Orthodoxy. And I had, on my way to Greece, I had stopped in Frankfurt, and a German convert priest from Lutheranism came to the airport to have dinner with us. And so I knew the name of a priest in Frankfurt. So I was able to tell this man, oh, well, you can go see Father such and such, and he will help you become Orthodox. So here, the Holy Virgin knew that this, I mean, think about it. Most of us, at least if we're converts, were tourists at one time. We visited an Orthodox church for the first time. And then there's another little thing that happened with a young boy that goes to the monastery with his parents for liturgy. And quite a few years ago, when he was about 7, his mom told me that Nathan was not wanting to go to church. He didn't want to go to church anymore. And so she said, every Sunday is a battle. So at the end of the Agape feast, I took him aside and sat him down and I said, all right, I need to know something. Why don't you want to come to church? Are my homilies boring? Is that what it is? No. Well, what is it? Well, I don't have any friends here. And I said, whose fault is that? Have you ever asked any of your friends to come and visit? Well, no. He says, most of my friends at school don't believe in God. And I said, well, whose fault is that? Have you shared your faith? Well, no. And I said, tell you what I'm going to do. For every friend you bring to church for the first time, I will give you $5. His eyes lit up. The next week he came with 4 friends. I had to give him a 20. But see, we can say that for ourselves as well. You know, oftentimes we think that, I wish my neighbors were Orthodox, or I wish my grandmother was Orthodox. My mom and dad were Lutherans. I was raised Lutheran. My mother was a church organist. And in the 60s, I know some of you won't find this hard to believe, but in the 60s in Berkeley, I was a hippie. And I had initially gone off to Concordia College in Portland, Missouri Synod Lutheran, with the intent of becoming a Lutheran minister.
Oh.
And my mother was so proud. I had horn-rimmed glasses, I had short hair, I had a little goatee, kind of a German-looking goatee, and I wore tweed jackets and vests and bow ties, and my mother was so proud. Well, then I was taking a bus into downtown Portland one day, and we passed through the park blocks at Portland State University, and I saw my first hippie. And I thought, wow, I don't want to be a Lutheran minister. I want to be a hippie. And so at the end of that semester, I transferred to another college, which was full of hippies. And so my mother, I went back for Christmas, back home for Christmas. And this was the first time my mother saw the new me. And I had long hair and a big beard, and I had necklace, hippie beads around my neck. I was wearing a poncho and flared bell bottoms. And I reeked of patchouli oil. And my mother was so upset, and I remember she said, oh, David, and that was my name, David, oh, you know, we have the Christmas Eve service, and I'll pay for a haircut. And I still got some of your tweed jackets and sport coats here in the closet, and, you know, it would be so nice for you to look your handsome self, as my mom would say. And maybe we could trim the beard. I said, Mom, if I can't go to the Lutheran church like this, I'm not going. And I didn't. That was it.
So years later, when I've made my mom proud again. I'm now have short hair and a trimmed beard, and I'm wearing tweed jackets and vests and my signature bow tie, and I'm teaching, and I'm a therapist, and my mother was so proud. And then I met Orthodoxy. I didn't just meet Orthodoxy. I saw in Orthodoxy something that I wanted so much of it that it was not enough to just be a layman in the Orthodox Church. I wanted to be a monk. And so, of course, you know what that meant. It meant that I was going to be changing my attire and my appearance. So I was tantried by Father Dimitri of Santa Rosa. And the first time that I went back a few years later to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, to spend some time with my parents, and my mother took one look at me. And I said, I'd like to take you and Dad out to dinner. Oh, no, 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 no. I'll cook. And my mother would always want to go out to dinner when I came in my previous incarnation. And I knew it had everything to do with my new persona. She was embarrassed. And so I confronted her. I said, Mom, is it the way I'm dressed and the way I look, is that the real reason you don't want to go out to dinner? And she said, well, it's like when you were a hippie. Your hair is long, your beard is long, you're wearing strange clothes, you have things around your neck, and you smell of incense. So I knew that the road to Orthodoxy for my mom and dad was not going to be easy. So what I didn't do what some people are tempted to do in a case like that, give them icons and Orthodox books for Christmas. Instead, I prayed to God to help me become the very best son I could be to my parents. So every week became an occasion for me to be that good son. So what I would do is I would call them at least once a week. How are you? How's your day? How's your week? How's your health? And then I made a concerted effort every 6 months to drive to Coeur d'Alene to spend a few days with my parents. And then I had a plan. And do any of you know Father Gregory Horton?
Yes.
Somebody? You do, yeah.
Gregory?
Yes. Well, Father Gregory is a dear person, dear friend of mine. And he's one of these, if you call his cell phone, this is Father Gregory Horton. I am so glad to hear from you. And I am so sorry I can't take your call right now. But if you will leave me your number, I will be delighted to return your call. And this has been going on for how many years? And I thought, well, he's got a new mission in Coeur d'Alene. And I've been praying for years that Idaho, Northern Idaho, would see an Orthodox mission. Now there's one there and in Bonner's Ferry. He started the church in Spokane, and then in Post Falls, near Coeur d'Alene, and then now in Bonner's Ferry. And he's just this perfect missionary. And so he was coming to visit us at the monastery, and it was getting near Christmas. So I went out and I bought all these little gift items for my mom and dad. A lot of little gourmet food items and little things that I knew that wouldn't just clutter up the house of an elderly couple who are thinking about, you know, selling their home and moving into assisted living. So I just got little things. And I wrapped each one of them individually. It took me a long time to do this. And I got a box about this big, and I
put all of these little gifts into the box. And then when Father Gregory came, I said, Father, when you go back to Post Falls, would you go into Coeur d'Alene and give my mom this box and tell her to open the box and that all of the little individually wrapped gift items for Christmas are to go under their tree. And, oh, by the way, would you give her a hug from her son?